You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. Watching the Los Angeles mayoral election, the counting continues. Jeff explained earlier this week that the counting is mostly the mail-in ballots that can't be opened until the election day. Therefore, they all have to be validated. Those that look incorrect have to be challenged, adjudicated. It takes time. However, because there are two Democrats, Rick Caruso and Karen Bass, there's no obvious advantage to the party to favor one side or another for mail-in ballots. They're all Democratic ballots. Therefore, we come to where are we in the count? Jeff, a very good evening to you. How many votes left to be counted in this arduous fashion? How many days will it take? And where is the lead right now for either of them? Good evening.
Good evening, John. So right now we're looking at almost 250,000 votes that still remain to be counted. And that is a sizable number of votes. It's not that you put it all through the machine tomorrow. So they will have to be, in some cases, hand-counted or at least adjudicated in person by different people who oversee and determine what vote was made and who was made by and all that. But we're looking at a difference right now where Karen Bass has a lead of about almost 9,500 votes. And we're looking at this probably being settled sometime later in the end of this week, if possible, if there aren't any big holdups. It doesn't seem like there will be, and there's a lot of pressure to get this done. But right now, Karen Bass has really overtaken Caruso. And now she's moving solidly into first. It looks like she'll gain many more from the mail-in ballots.
And the news, how is it reported in Los Angeles? Is this a top-of-the-news story, or is it business-as-usual story? How is it regarded, Jeff?
It's not top-of-the-news story. It was for a day or two, but right now it's kind of settled in, and people are waiting to see what happens. I think there's a widespread expectation that she'll win out in the end right now because she's come from so far behind. She caught up after several days of kind of running neck and neck, and now she's pulled ahead. And I think most people feel like the remaining ballots are going to be solidly in her square.
Therefore, we move to another part of Los Angeles County, which Jeff tells me is called Medieval Times. This is all new to me. Jeff says there are knights who joust, and there are appearing celebrity medieval characters. Something like Disneyland, except not. Now, Jeff is a veteran of Disneyland. Jeff, I don't picture you in a knight's armor. Is that correct?
Yeah, I can't see that happening for me either. Although when you go to Medieval Times, and we went there for my son's birthday when he was quite young, they give everybody a paper crown, kind of something like you'd see at Burger King, that type of thing. But there's all kinds of medieval type frivolity. You know, there are jesters and jugglers and, you know, serving wenches, as they call themselves. And, you know, the moms and dads get, you know, tankards of wine and the kids get soft drinks and a horn or some sort of medieval looking glass. But there are all kinds of shows going on there in the arena. So you have jousting, you have horseback riding demonstrations, you have kind of duels and, you know, sword play, that type of thing. It's actually a lot of fun. You know, it's not something you can go to. You can see a lot. You always know what's going to happen. You know, the good guy's going to win, that type of thing. But especially for the kids, it's a lot of fun. And oftentimes the fun is at the expense of the adults there. So it's a lot of fun. But what's happened now is they've won to organize. They voted to unionize there. And they're not that far. Buena Park is in the northern part of Orange County as it comes up against L.A. County. And right next door is Anaheim, where Disneyland is. And so it's pretty natural for the Guild of Variety Artists, which is the union there to represent them. And this means all of the people that are involved with, you know, taking care of the horses, the people who appear live on stage. There are quite a few people there, but they've been talking about not getting enough pay, about working in dangerous conditions, long hours. So something like this was bound to happen.
So union organization at medieval times, the news of the moment. I don't recall, is Disneyland unionized, Jeff?
They are. As a matter of fact, when I was there, I think that we had 13 unions or so that were representing. I was a member of the Teamsters Union as somebody who, you know, they call it a ride operator or an attractions host, somebody who puts guests in the cars and sends them around because they're mechanical conveyances. So they thought we would be, you know, like Teamsters. So we were represented by them. But there are other people, the Carpenters Union, and of course, performers are represented there just like they are here. By the guild artists. So, it's not uncommon. You see this at other theme parks and attractions as well. Hey, it even happens in the realm of burlesque dance houses, I should say, in Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Staying with Los Angeles area, the drought, 3 years of drought. Now, you've reported to me that early in the season, there's skiing, so there's snow, but how did the drought behave in Los Angeles last year? What are the expectations for another year?
The expectations are that we're still going to have a pretty severe drought, that we're going to have these periods like we did earlier this week. We had a rainstorm right on, you know, election day, and you're going to have these throughout the drought, but they'll never be enough to kind of quench the thirst, put enough water in the aquifers or in the reservoirs. Sure, you'll get some, you know, some good skiing here and there. They're getting good skiing, good snow coverage up in Northern California, but they need snow that's going to keep coming in, you know, day after day, week after week, and really build up, because then when it melts off, it supplies the water down the mountain, down in the farmland, down in the communities.
Therefore, you survived this year's drought and you're looking to next year's drought. But the snowpack, let's go to the Lake Tahoe region. Last year, I remember you reporting in early December that the snowpack was doing very well, and then it stopped snowing. What is it doing this year?
Well, they've had the early snow, and it's been quite good. Most of the ski resorts, or I should say a lot of the ski resorts, Northern, Central, and Southern California have opened. Of course, in places like Southern California, it's only a few runs. They're very small. But as you get up toward Tahoe, up in the Sierras up there, they're having some really great snow. I mean, it's not only are they able to make snow and have it stick on the ground, but the natural snow that's coming down is several feet deep, and it's very good quality, and it's bringing people from all over. They've had to open up most of these resorts a week ahead of time.
All right. Now, what we all really care about, which is Hank the Tank and his brothers and sisters, the Critter Reports, The winter last year was slight, and I don't recall any significant bear stories. The last time we talked of the bears at length were the fires of the South Tahoe region. That's correct. So update us on bears. Are they acting in normal fashion, coming looking for what you'd call non-smart food, you know, the junk stuff?
In settlement areas like Lake Tahoe or Yosemite or you know, even some of the lake and ski resort areas of Southern California, we're seeing a lot of bear activity. And some people think anecdotally that it is more than usual. But this is just a time of year. Remember, we're just about to go into a real winter season. And this is the last chance for many of the bears and other animals to you know, be fully stocked up on food before they have to hibernate or before, you know, the main food supply disappears for the season. I've seen a number of videos, including from an acquaintance in South Lake Tahoe, where bears just seem to be popping in every day, several at a time throughout the day. It's been very busy for him up in South Lake Tahoe. And my own personal observations in Southern California, seeing up in the hills, mountains there, is a number of the smaller animals have really gotten quite a bit larger as they get ready to, you know, hunker down for the winter. So I think there seems to be signs, at least among some of the animals, that this may be a very cold winter, at least.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.